Anybody out here know he's the on-time God? Praise God. He's never, ever too late. He knows when, and he knows how. Hallelujah. And they know just as much as you can handle. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, we are glorifying God, for this is the 191st day, no, 96th day. 96th day. And we are still here. That means we need to give God some praise, because this is another day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad that he allowed you to be in the day. Hallelujah. So we're grateful to God that he has blessed us and kept us yet another day. Hallelujah. Praise God. We welcome him in this house. Hallelujah. To God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is a good God. He's merciful God. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of, all right, of the praise. Hallelujah. He's kept us from a whole lot of things that we don't even know about. He's keep right on blessing us over and over again. Hallelujah. So we give God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost glory and honor and praise for allowing us to be here one more time. To our presider, Elders Green, and to all other ministers in the house, we praise God for you. And to every officer of the church, we praise God for you as well. Everyone else falls under the title of lay people. So we praise God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. Because everybody's important. Everybody's special. Everybody's precious. Hallelujah. Nobody's more important than anybody else. Hallelujah. God loves us all the same. Hallelujah. And I want you to know your position as layperson is very important. You may think it's insignificant and you don't need to be there, but you need to be here. Hallelujah. Because without the lay people, we won't have no church. Without you in the audience, the choir will be singing to the pews. I'll be preaching to the pews. So your position is very important. Hallelujah. In the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And everybody is special. Hallelujah. The neighbor, you won't find me nowhere else. I am an original. Hallelujah. You are an original. When God made you, he didn't make but one of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you're so special. Hallelujah. And you're so special to him that he gave up his life that you could live. That makes you special. And if you have him in your life, you are royalty. Because your father is the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. So that makes you important. And you're what God said you are, and not what man say you are. Hallelujah. What time is it?
Good news time.
God's word is good news. And it's good news in this bad news world. You should find our text in the book of Matthew again, the 18th chapter. Beginning at verse 20, we said to be continued last week. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand here yielded spiritually, mentally, and physically, all into your care, that you may use us for your glory, your honor, and your praise. Send forth your anointed word through this vessel to assist your people. And the sheep of your fold. Send a word that would enlighten us and empower us and enable us to do your will. Send a word that will bring us joy, peace, and happiness, and deliverance and victory in spite of everything going contrary to against us. Send a word that will deliver us from the affliction that you said we're going to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are we there? Matthew 18, verse 20. Beginning there, going through verse 22. For well, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto Say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Again, speak to someone knee and say, take the limits off. Part two. Take the limits off. It seemed to be very hard to remove limitations that we put on ourselves as we were growing up. A lot of them we put on ourselves while we were yet in the world. And we have forgotten that the scriptures have told us that they all things of the old person had passed away. And behold, all things within you now have become new. But somehow, in some way, we have laid aside the new and pulled back up the old. But when we lay aside things of the kingdom work, we're supposed to crucify it. Get rid of it. Don't lay it down where you can go back and pick it up. So that calls us to not only limit ourselves, but we limit what God can do. And I heard and read in his word where it said, is there anything too hard for God? or for him. There is nothing too hard for God. After all, God made everything. Everything and anything that exists, he made it. So how can anything be too hard? God can do any and everything he desires to do. And he has extended that power unto those of us who have been born again. Because Jesus said on one occasion, after the disciples couldn't cast out some demons, and Jesus spoke and the demons was cast out, and they want to know, how is that possible that he could do it and they couldn't? And Jesus said, well, some things. Man, with man, some things are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So if you have God, if he's in you, then all things become possible unto you. Philippians 4:13, and we all know that, says that I can do all things through Christ strengthening me. I can do all things. Now, but we got to do it through Christ, who will provide us our strength. If you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail miserably. But with God, the impossible becomes possible. So we got to remove the limitations we have placed on some things. We limit how much we trust God. But yet we'll say, I trust God. And we'll say, I trust him with my life until that time comes to be tested, then we do just like Peter. Because Peter was trusting him with his life. He even said, Lord, I die with you. But when it comes down to his identity and association with Jesus, he denied him not one time, not just two times, but three times in one night. It's a matter of minutes. He had denied him three times. Because Peter was a strong disciple and outspoken, but he wasn't Daniel. He wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who trusted God with their life. He wasn't Abraham, who trusted his son, Isaac, with God, to even to the point of him sacrificing his own son. But I heard him say, God will. Yeah. The son said, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrificial lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't see something that we need. We need to know that God will provide because he promised to take care of my every need. I don't see no food on the table. I ain't no food in the cupboard. Ain't no food in the refrigerator, but God will provide. And the choir has just sung, he's my everything, but y'all's choir just sung. Okay, on time. Yeah, he'll be on time before you die. You might go hungry for a day, but he'll give you some food. He'll give you just enough for you to make it. It may not fill your stomach, but it's enough for you to survive on. Yeah, we got to stop limiting things in the kingdom of God. And I said that we got to get rid of that word, I can't, or two words that's used together when they're used together. I can't. When the word said, I can. The devil got you saying, I can't. So as long as you say, I can't, you can't be delivered. As long as you're saying, I can't, you can't be made free. As long as you can't saying, I can't, you can't do those things. But Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. If you abound today, you don't know the truth. Because Jesus freed us. He freed us from the chain that's been holding you down. We limit ourselves based on what I can see. If I can't see it, I don't claim it. If I see it, I can claim it. Because there's something in sight for me. But we are a people who live by faith. And faith is things that you can't see. It's your evidence. Things you can't see, and it is the substance of what you are hoping to get. And the scripture says, why should a person hope for that they can see? You already got that, so why are you hoping for it? But we waste a lot of endless nights worrying about things we already got. It ain't as good as you want it. You got an automobile, but it ain't a new one. And said, but Tick got him a new one, I want one too. But Tick might have needed the new one. Mine's still working. But we'll say, I need me a new car. And guess what, y'all? You can't drive but at a time. You can buy a new car to sit up. in your garage like you're doing on the car park, on the car lot. Glory to God. Let me move on. What I really want to get at is our limitations replaced on forgiveness. If I can get you past that, I can get you into heaven. This is very important. We're not dealing with pies in the sky, because you eat the pie up and you still be where you were. But I want you to listen to some systems that's going to get you into the kingdom. Amen. Where you won't have no more wants and needs. Jesus teaching his disciples. And we told you last week about the prayer he left us. But it said in that 14th verse, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses," that's on chapter 6, Matthew, "your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now that's a very powerful and important statement. All your kingdom working and trials and tribulation hangs on you doing what it says here. You can do all the good that you can want to do and give to the poor and sacrifice your body and your life and don't forgive. You're going to wind up in hell. And the devil's got us hung up on that forgiveness. Because he knows that as long as I can keep you from forgiving, I got you in his kingdom. And his kingdom is a kingdom of torment, a kingdom of fire burning and brimstone throughout eternity. But so I'm going to go back on that again. He said, and they take it from the scripture that said, and the prayer that says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those." That let you see that if I don't forgive, I won't be forgiven. My forgiveness hung up on me forgiving somebody else. Forgive them as I so Jesus explained that part to him, saying, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Yo. But if ye forgive not, if you don't forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father won't forgive you yours. And he said, no sin shall enter the kingdom of God. Jesus tells about this man after Peter had told him, "How many times should I forgive?" And Peter said, "Ain't seven times enough?" And I imagine imagine that Peter won't talk about one day. You ain't looking for somebody to do you bad 7 times in one day. One time's enough that we got our limits. Once a day, and once you run out a week, you done had all the opportunities you want or need. But Peter said 7 times. And most of us don't even want to forgive 1 or 2 times. At least Peter gave 1 time for every day to the week. Ain't 7 times enough? Jesus said, no, Peter. 7 times is not enough. You need to think about like 7 times 70. 490 times is a whole lot. What God is trying to say, don't put no limits on your forgiveness. Because you may mess up more than 7 times. And if you mess up more than 7 times, then where are you going to go? Remove the limits. Jesus said, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a king, who will take account of his servants. And he began to do so and reckon with them. And for as much as he had not paid, this man owed him 10,000 talents. And I saw where in the translation where it said, and that was silver he owed. And that was 3,640,000. $840 million of silver. That's a whole lot. Somebody say that's a whole lot. Well, our sins may be just that many. If you think about all the sins you've done from 0 day to now, it may be more than 3 billion. The man was going to throw him in jail because he didn't have the money to pay him. And not only that, he wanted to sell his wife, sell his children, everything he had, and that still wasn't enough. And he put him in jail till he can get the rest. Now, I don't know how he's going to get it in jail. Does that mean that he's in jail for what? Forever. And he begged the man, please have mercy on me. Be patient. He'll pay you. Just give me a little time. And the man forgave him. He not only gave him a little time, but he forgave him of the debt. Hallelujah. But then that same servant that just got released from the great big debt he had went down the street and found another servant that owed him 100 pennies. 100 pence and silver, that was $3,200. Dr. Steve? You owe me some money. And you didn't pay me yet.
Give me a little time.
Give me my money. Give me my money. The word they proud about the neck. When he begged for forgiveness, he grabbed it like that. You know when you grab people like that, you can start shaking. I guess they ain't gonna shake the money out of him. And he had a man thrown in jail. He could pay him. And other people saw what was going on. And they were there when he got forgiven. Went back and told the master what the servant had done. And he came back and said, after all I forgave you, you couldn't forgive him? Throw him in jail. Let him stay till he can pay. That same, he got forgiven, but wouldn't forgive. He lost his forgiveness. You got forgiven, got saved, and then you stopped forgiving. You lost yours all over again. You backslid. You got to do your first works over. Yeah. You got to forgive. And forgiveness is not for the person you're forgiven. Is to release yourself so that you can continue to be forgiven. So you need to forgive with joy because you are releasing yourself from a hole. The word said, if they ask, forgive them. He said, if you bring your gifts to the altar and you, after getting to the altar, realize that I have something I'm holding against somebody. Leave your gift. Don't take it back. When you bring it to the Lord, it's the Lord's. Leave your gift. And go find that person that you had art with. Get it straightened out. And then come back. To the altar. So forgiveness, everything is hinging on you forgiven. Your joy hung up because you won't forgive. Your happiness hung up because you won't forgive. Your deliverance hung up because you forgive. Your peace is hanging up because you won't forgive. That's why you're in so much misery all day, every day. Because you won't forgive. Hallelujah. Give it up. Take the limits off. Hallelujah. And don't say, I forgave you yesterday. And here you back again today. Hallelujah. You messed up more than one time in one day for the Lord. But we got to see it as Jesus saw it. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Okay. Don't allow your pride to send you to hell. Then how proud are you going to be then? Your payment for sinning is death. Your payment for unforgiveness is death. But if you forgive, it ain't gonna cost you nothing. But we'll give you eternal life. Now, which one do you want? Eternal life or eternal damnation? Eternal peace and joy or eternal pain and agony? Which one do you want? You hold that key. Nobody in this world can keep you from being saved but yourself. Nobody in this world can keep you from living right but yourself. Nobody in this world can keep you from forgiving them but yourself. We don't need to blame nobody but self for everything that's going wrong in our life, because we know that all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. And Chronicles says, if I shut up the heavens, and it won't be no rain. You ain't gonna have no prosperity going on in your life. Maybe heaven will shut up for you. If I send the locusts to devour the land, everything you get seem to be just eaten up. You just can't accumulate nothing. Just get eaten up, get lost in the bills and lost in whatever else that consuming your joy and your peace and your happiness. Hallelujah. If I send pestilence amongst the people, cancer here and cancer there, kidney problem there and heartaches here and whatever else going on, pestilence. Jesus said, all you need to do, if my people, anybody in out here called by his name, that are called by his name, will humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked way. Then I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal the land. Maybe your land ain't been healed because you're holding unforgiveness. You got to get yourself straightened out. If you want all these things you ain't asked the Lord for. Because if you stay in his will, you can ask anything. Hallelujah. In his name. And it shall be done. After you believe that it's done. Amen, amen. You got to believe it's done before you get it. Believe it's done before you see it. Believe it's done before you feel it. And it shall be yours. Take the limits off your forgiveness. Forgive even if you ain't been asked. Amen. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Do unto others as you have them to do unto you. So if you want to be forgiven, you forgive first. You got married with somebody, called to walk by and didn't speak, you speak first. Stop trying to keep everybody else straightened out. Just worry about yourself. And if everybody's worrying about themselves, everybody will be straightened out. And that's the only way it's going to happen. What you need to do is pray. You know what this said? He'll forgive. And then he'll heal. Hallelujah. And he'll keep his eye on you. Because he promised never to leave you, nor to forsake you. Forgive. Forgive. Can't say it enough. Because as soon as we leave here, somebody going to get mad with somebody and spend the day in unforgiveness. Tell your neighbor, that's a dangerous thing. Because the death angel could come while you're in your anger. And the word said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't let no time go by and you not forgive. Because the longer you hold it, the harder it is for you to forgive it. God bless you.